to the far corner. Nosek looks up top, finds Theodore, shoots, and scores! Neal weaving right up to the blue line, has two men with him to the right side. Hallett gets down low. He scores! Eric Hallett wins it! 2-1 Knights with 4:37 left in the second overtime. James Neal to Eric Hallett, and the Knights take a 2-0 series lead. With 3 seconds left, Kopitar tries to fish it out. Here comes the horn. It's over. It's a sweep for Vegas. The Knights beat the Kings 1-0. 4 straight wins to start their inaugural Stanley Cup playoffs. The Vegas Golden Knights advance.
And welcome in. It's another game day. Game day Wednesday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman behind the board. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace going to be joining us momentarily from San Jose. Check out all of his tweets and the things that he's been doing up there in San Jose. Also, I know that him and Helen Ye are up there getting some stuff for the website as well. So go to lvsportsnetwork.com. Lots of cool stuff there. And Clayton, tonight we are down at Parkway Tavern, but instead of the one up from the station today, 215 in Flamingo, where they will be showing the game. So if you're in this neighborhood, you can come on up there. But if you got a little bit of time, you'd like to join us, come on down to Parkway Tavern in Henderson on Mark Street, just behind Sunset Station.
Yeah, we are on the road, too. Get to make the little trek down to Henderson. Love going down there. They are super kind to us, and we have a pretty good vantage point for the game. So, yeah, love being down there.
Screens all over the place. And, by the way, if you tell me that you heard us talking about it on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show today, I've got a couple tickets to give away. So, while supplies last, just coming up to me, and I'll give you your choice. Have some stuff for Creedence Clearwater Revisited. That's going to be this weekend right down there at Sunset Station. So that's in the neighborhood. The Beatles vs. Stone show over at House of Blues. The Supercross. Got a pair of tickets for that as well. So the first person that asks for them, I will hook them up with that. Also, Deadpool 2, a movie screening, and a four-pack for the 51s for Dollar Beer Night. By the way, that Deadpool 2 will also give away a four-pack for that today on the show, along with our final one of the Stanley Cup playoff boxes with the shirt, hat, the little stress reliever puck and stuff in there. So some pretty cool stuff, compliments of the NHL Network.
And not just giveaways today.
Oh, yeah.
We're also going to have a giveaway tomorrow for all of you that have been asking, where are the Stanley Cup playoff tickets? We're going to have tickets for you tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know what? I was talking to Mark Moore in the hall today because he informed me that we had the tickets, so I was pretty excited about that. And, you know, we loved the sweep of L.A., but I just found out that maybe we don't love it as much as we thought we did because we actually had a pair for Game 5 for that series as well. But that didn't happen, but this one it is. Hopefully you will see Game 5 if you are the lucky winner tomorrow on the show. Not sure exactly how we're going to do it yet, if we'll just take a caller, maybe make you work for a little bit. Probably should make them work for a little bit. But regardless, we will have those tickets to give away tomorrow, and hopefully it will be a series clinching as they move on to the Western Conference Finals. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Still a game to play tonight. And like Frank said, we will be down at Parkway Tavern in Henderson. And it looks like the weather is clearing up. So the patio will be in full effect. Jenga Connect 4. They even have a ping pong table out on that patio.
Yeah, they have a lot of cool stuff down there. Like you said, a very nice staff and everything as well. And if you are curious, should Vegas win tonight's game, which we certainly hope they do, everybody's always in a better mood after a victory, teams that take a 3-1 lead in best-of-seven Stanley Cup playoff series have an all-time series record of 274-28 or a 90.7% win potential. So should they win tonight, they are really in the driver's seat to win this thing.
So they went from 67.3 by winning Game 3 up to 90, over 90%.
90.7 if they win tonight and take that 3-1 lead. And who knows, it might even be a little bit higher than that considering that they would have two of the three games at home. But again, let's not put the cart before the horse because they do have to win tonight. But should be an exciting game tonight. I'm curious to see if there's any changes in either one of the lineups. I don't expect a lot of them, but apparently there is a lot of talk out there. I know Steve Karp tweeted out earlier today that it looks like Joe Thornton and Joakim Ryan will both be game-time decisions, but then our very own Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, and we'll see if there's any updates from him when he joins us here in a minute or so. He says watch out for Thornton because he's been dishonest with the media and that kind of stuff before a little bit because Thornton has said he's out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But just because he says he's out, I think it's Peter DeBoer that decides whether or not he's in or out.
Yeah, and you wouldn't expect any reason for anybody to tell the truth when it comes to that sort of thing. Also don't know what's going on with Jonas Donskoy as well, and whether or not Chris Tierney will stay with the top line. I thought he played really well despite not getting on the score sheet last game, but will Chris Tierney stay up there? Will they move Hurdle up there? Will they move Meyer up there? So a lot of question marks going into tonight's game in terms of the roster.
Now, one question mark that we don't have about tonight's game, although he did join the team in San Jose, Max Lagasse has joined up, but he is not going to be starting. Marc-Andre Fleury is there. Everything's fine. Lagasse joining, and why not? I mean, the Chicago Wolves are out of the playoffs right now, so bring him up there, get him a part of that team experience around the playoffs and everything, too. The more youngsters in that they can have be part of this experience, the better off I say they are for the long run.
And there's also nothing wrong with Malcolm Subban. Remember that Dylan Ferguson was up just to have an extra goalie for practice, so now they want to get Max a little opportunity for all that he's done this year to get them where they are. He's one of the guys that got him here, and so that's a reward for Max Lagasse. But Malcolm Subban, all is well for anybody that's worried about that.
Yeah, that's why I threw that out there in case somebody checked. Why are they calling up? Don't panic. It's just a move to get some people out there. Speaking of moving, our very own Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, he hasn't moved up there, but he's traveled up to San Jose to check out the San Jose Sharks. Ryan joining us now on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Compliments of MJ Christensen Jewelers and Finley Toyota that have supplied us the means to get Ryan up there. And let's do a little game preview with Ryan Clayton.
That's right. Our game preview brought to you by Findlay Honda North. Happy Hondas happen here. Findlay True North Honda in the Northwest at Centennial Hills. Game preview, game number 4, Vegas Golden Knights at San Jose Sharks. And welcome in, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We are doing well, thank you. And the first thing I wanted to – I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet, because I know I saw it on Twitter and some other places, but, you know, I like the towels that they give away at T-Mobile, but I got to tell you, the towels that they give away at those Sharks games look pretty cool. I saw the one for tonight for Round 2, Game 4. I just hope that this is the last towel that they'll be handing out for this series.
Yeah, I kind of hope that, too, to be honest with you. I did see it. I saw it actually yesterday. People inside SAP, they were actually setting the towels for Game 4 yesterday, and I took a picture, put it up on Twitter. I know that it's a Game of Thrones thing. I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't have the time to watch Game of Thrones, but it's interesting. The shark is breathing teal fire, and there's a knight. There's a lot going on, but yeah, I would say their towel game is strong, probably stronger than their play has been so far in this series.
And I'm glad that you cleared that up, that it's teal fire, because I looked at that and I thought, is that supposed to be fire because it looks blue like water? Is he trying to burn them or drown them? Because I wasn't really sure what the shark was exactly spitting out of his mouth. So, but if it's teal fire, well, I've never seen it, but okay, well, good for San Jose, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll roll with it. I don't know. I mean, do the towels really need to make sense? Obviously, their Duck Hunt one was really, really good. The Camelot one was okay, but I don't know. They don't necessarily equal success on the ice, so we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, too, because you mentioned about success on the ice, and last night with Washington winning in Pittsburgh, you know, there's only two teams left now in this 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs that have not lost a game on the road yet, and that is, surprisingly enough to some people, the Washington Capitals, who are 4-0 now on the road, and the Vegas Golden Knights, who are 3-0. What do you make of tonight's game? Do you get that feeling it's going to be 4-0? Because, again, they won the last game, but it was another overtime game, so these teams are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, I mean, I think Games 3 and Game 4 were very similar in that really either one of those teams could have won the game. I think that Vegas obviously dominated Game 1, but outside of that game, you throw that away, it's been a very, very close series. I don't know if all of the momentum of all of the advantage is in Vegas' favor right now, and I say that because I have not seen them play a complete 60 minutes unless you talk about that first game of the series. That's two games in a row now that Vegas has had moments, long periods of time during games where they have not been playing their best hockey. And in order to get through and continue to win games, you need to be playing your best hockey. Now, granted, it's not going to happen all the time, but Vegas hasn't been great over the last few games. So I think they need to get back to a 60-minute effort, and that starts with contributions from their fourth line. And when I say contributions, I mean playing more than 5 minutes a night.
When you look at what's going on with the roster on San Jose's side, all of the question marks about whether or not Joe Thornton was going to come back, Jonas Donskoy, still no word on him. Chris Tierney filled in, played pretty well on the first line. Do you expect he will stay there tonight if the other two don't go, or do you think they're going to try someone else up on the top line?
You know, I saw a little bit earlier that Joe Thornton hasn't actually been ruled out of this game. He is going to be a game-time decision. I think he might play. I don't know if that helps or hurts San Jose, to be honest, but I thought Chris Tierney was really good in Game 3. He was creating a lot of opportunities, a lot of chances. Really, when you look at the top line, it's going to go as Joe Pavelski and Evander Kane go. If you put Joe Thornton there, I think you lose a lot of speed. You lose a lot of what that line does really, really well. So I don't think Joe Thornton is going to be the answer on the top line, but I think Chris Tierney filled in, played really well with those guys. I don't necessarily anticipate too much changing on the forward core for San Jose, but I do expect there to be a change on the defensive end in Paul Martin not playing and Joakim Ryan playing in his place.
I know that Gerard Gallant said after the last game in the post-game press conference that, you know, they knew that San Jose was going to be tough. Everybody knew that this wasn't going to be a sweep. That's not how the Stanley Cup playoffs work. And, you know, they expected a long series and a difficult series here. And I agree with him on that sort of stuff. But in reality, does the team feel loose and do they seem pretty confident right now? Because really, if it's not for an overturned goal in game number two, they could actually be looking at a sweep here tonight.
Yeah, I think that this group is incredibly confident. I think they believe in themselves. They believe in each other. And, you know, they know that they are staying in games with the San Jose Sharks, even when they're not playing their best hockey. And there's something to that. If you're a team, let's flip the script a little bit. You're San Jose. You know that you've outplayed Vegas for stretches in this series. And like you just said, Frank, you're one bounce, one disallowed goal away from being down 3-0. So it's got to be frustrating for San Jose that they're playing, in their minds, better hockey than Vegas is, yet they're behind in the series. And it's got to boost your confidence for Vegas if they can just get back to their game, playing with speed in transition, playing with speed through the neutral zone, winning neutral zone battles. If Vegas can get back to that and play their brand of hockey, they have to be very confident that they can beat the San Jose Sharks.
One of the guys that has been helpful in getting them into transition when they can has been John Merrill. We've seen him have a tough go of it the last two games. A lot of question marks about whether or not Lucas Pisa is ready to come back and whether or not Turk would make a change given the fact that they're coming off of a victory. Did you pick up anything at practice to lead us to believe that you would know the future of John Merrill and Lucas Pisa?
John Merrill is more than likely going to be in the lineup tonight. Lucas Pisa was out on the ice with the scratches, getting some extra work. So I expect there to be zero lineup changes for the Vegas Golden Knights tonight.
Is it fair to say that the difference in this series, kind of like the difference in the last series, has been Marc-Andre Fleury? Because as good as Jonathan Quick played, Marc-Andre Fleury played a little bit better. As good as Martin Jones has played, except for that first game, which was an anomaly, and obviously it just wasn't there, even though there's been more goals scored in this series, it seems like Marc-Andre Fleury, when he's had to, has come up with the big save. In fact, at sometimes, the gigantic save.
Yeah, I mean, I think Marc-Andre Fleury is the reason that the Vegas Golden Knights are up 2-1 in this series. I think he's the reason they could potentially be up 3-0. Marc-Andre Fleury's been phenomenal. I mean, he had a couple of gaffes in Game 2 that I think he really felt like let the team down. Obviously, when he kind of played the puck into Derek Englund when he should have just covered it, and that kind of led the rally for the San Jose Sharks in Game 2. I think Marc-Andre Fleury took a lot of responsibility for that, and he came back and played extremely well in Game 3. And, yeah, I mean, I think that he's the difference maker for the Vegas Golden Knights for sure. You know what you're going to get with him. You know that you're going to get solid goaltending, if not spectacular goaltending. You're going to get those big game saves, those big time moment saves. And you look across the ice to Martin Jones, and no disrespect to Martin Jones, But he has played the Vegas Golden Knights now, I believe, seven times in the throughout the regular season and in the playoffs, and he's under 900 for his save percentage. That's not good. That's not good at all. I don't think Martin Jones matches up well against the Vegas Golden Knights offense when its offense is clicking and it's on transition, it's on rushes, it's on three-on-twos, two-on-ones. He cannot move laterally fast enough to keep up with the Vegas Golden Knights offense when they're clicking on all cylinders.
And unfortunately for Shark fans right now, especially the top line has really been clicking well. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace joining us here live from San Jose, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. Well, I know earlier you had a chance to catch up with one of our favorite players and a guy who does so many things for this team, helping them win on a game-to-game basis, Pierre-Édouard Bellemare. And I want to play that interview right now, Ryan, and then maybe get your thoughts on Pierre and what he means to the team and that as well as we're getting ready for Game 4. Here's your interview with Pierre-Édouard Bellemare earlier today after the practice.
Looking at Game 4, what do you guys need to do to kind of carry the momentum from Game 3?
Well, I think that we know they're going to come hard, so it's going to be like make sure we don't overwhelm ourselves and make sure we weather the storm, and then make sure we stay disciplined, because I think that we were playing okay. So it's been a series where like your power play is kind of hurt either of the team, so make sure that we are smart with those.
When you're talking about weathering the storm, obviously shots on goal have been a little bit skewed in the first period for San Jose, but scoring chances across the board have been pretty even.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're doing a good job of kind of allowing Marc-Andre Fleury to see some stuff from the outside,
so.
Not really allowing them to get too much in close, too many in danger?
He still has made like some unbelievable saves, so I think we do a good job. We can do a better job for sure. There is a lot of shots on the board, but not all of them are great chances. So we knew about it. That's one of the things with weathering the storm. Make sure that we realize when we give up a bad shot or when we give up a good shot. Because when there is 40 shots on the net, it's not all 40 that are dangerous.
The special teams have been important. Obviously, the penalty kill has been important as well. Are there details, areas that you guys feel like you can be better in?
Obviously, there is always small detail that you have to tweak to be a little bit better. It's a long series, and each game they switch something to try to beat the kill. So we do the same, try to make sure we are ready for whatever they're going to throw at us. So small details. I think last game there was two times where we could throw the puck out and we didn't. And I think obviously face-off, I'm a big part of the centers taking the face-offs in the kill. So I have to be better. And all as a unit together, all the centers, we have to be better, especially in the kill. Because when they start with the puck, they're going to create offense for 40 seconds before we might be able to get the puck out or just get a chance on net right away. So winning the face-off, making them go all the way to their zone, picking it up, and you know it's not the least frustrating thing when you're on a power play and you don't start with the puck.
How important are these first few minutes of this game? You saw what the energy was like last game. Just how important is it to weather that storm when they're pumped up from their crowd early?
Well, it is the most important part is to realize, like, you know, what are we doing during that storm, and what positive we're getting out of it. Like I said, when we were in LA, like, you know, if they go and hit everybody, but then every guy that take the hits make the right play for the team before they take the hit, technically on the bench we were getting more pumped up than we were getting, you know, underwhelmed or overwhelmed or whatever you call it. So I think it's important, but to be able to weather a storm, I think we're going to have to come even stronger than that. Make sure we know they're going to come hard, so just match that or even harder.
It's hard to match that when they know they're down 2-1 and they don't want to go to Vegas 3-1. Is it almost hard to match what you know they're going to play with?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's one game. It doesn't matter what happened before. It doesn't matter what the number on the series is. This is the game to win tonight. Tonight is the most important game of the series. And that's as simple as that. So it shouldn't be that hard to get excited about that game.
Pierre-Edouard Bellemare getting ready for Game 4 tonight up in San Jose at the SAP Center. Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace, part of that interview. And, Ryan, a couple of things that I thought that he mentioned there that were very interesting and very important were people look at the shots on goal a lot, and it's scoring chances that people really need to look at. And they're a little bit harder to tell sometimes to the naked eye or to people out there, because if the goalie's got a good look at it, it's not really a detriment necessarily when the puck is coming towards him. And I thought that was a crucial part of what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got when you look up at the shot clock and it's 17-10 at the end of the first period, you say, "Oh my goodness, Vegas was absolutely dominated by San Jose." But when you dig a little bit deeper, you take a look at where the shots are coming from, you take a look at the grade A scoring chances, and then you realize that things are a lot closer than they seemed. You don't panic as much. Now, obviously, you'd prefer to have everything be a little bit more even, or you would prefer to be firing more shots in on Martin Jones and making him a little bit more uncomfortable. But if you're really minimizing the scoring chances that San Jose is getting, especially those scoring chances right in the middle of the slot where they like to tip pucks, where they like to get deflections, where they like to muck it up, if you can eliminate that and you allow Marc-Andre Fleury to see things from the perimeter, you can throw 100 shots on him in a game. You're not going to beat him very often.
On the Golden Knights side, when they're really clicking, it's because of their transition offense and transition goals. We haven't seen a ton of that over the past two games. What has San Jose been doing well to eliminate the transition and the speed?
They've been winning neutral zone battles. I mean, in game one, I want to say it was one out of every four neutral zone battles was won by San Jose. That's 25%. That's not good enough. In games two and games three, they were winning about 50, 60% of those neutral zone battles. And when you do that, you slow down the opposition. You don't allow Vegas to make those crisp passes through the neutral zone. You don't allow them to make those crisp passes coming out of their own zone to lead the breakout. And when you do that, you take away their speed, you take away their transition, and it's really coming down to making smart reads. And then you look at it, you say, okay, San Jose did a really good job in the second game of minimizing the rush chances, and then they did a pretty good job in the third game of minimizing the rush chances until William Karlsson scored on the rush. That was the first goal that Vegas scored since game one that came on the rush, and it happened to be the game winner because two Sharks overcommit on James Neal.
How important is the start of this game tonight? Because we heard Peter DeBoer talking about chasing the game all the time and how that wears you out, and it certainly does. They managed to tie it up and send it to overtime. But in reality, they actually had to lead that last game originally, and then Vegas hit for the three quick goals or whatever. So, but it seems to me that for San Jose, because they're obviously right now thinking about how difficult it is to chase a game, that maybe a quick start is even more important to them than the Vegas Golden Knights, although certainly Vegas wants to get off to a quick start as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the start's going to be important, but for me, it's more about sustained effort throughout the entire 60 minutes. I'd like to see Vegas not go into that bend and not break mentality to start this game. I'd like them to try to push the pace early, try to play with speed, try to roll four lines and really get San Jose back on their heels. Because if you say, well, we know they're going to come out hot, maybe we just kind of sit back, maybe we don't pinch, maybe we don't jump where we would have otherwise, you put yourself in a position where you're having to defend when there's really no reason to do that. So if I'm Vegas, I want to play my game from puck drop to final horn, and that starts with playing with speed and really trying to push the pace on San Jose.
One other quick point I want to make with you before we let you go, because I know you got a lot to do up there and you're getting ready for the game tonight. When you were mentioning the quick start and basically sustaining that and getting through it, like we saw them do in the LA series, like we saw them do in the first period last game, one other thing that Pierre-Edouard Bellemare mentioned, the fact what he said, when they hit you, you kind of have to absorb the hit and maybe even make them pay for it. Because sometimes when they're throwing that big hit, the defensive guy that's trying to throw that hit gets himself out of position. Is that the way that you think they're going to continue to attack it? It's like, not only try to sustain it and get ready for the push, but actually try to counterpunch a little bit and make them pay if they do get themselves in a bad position, because they're more intent on beating somebody up than beating them in the game of hockey.
Yeah, I think that it's a little bit difficult in this series because while San Jose is a heavier team, they have a lot of speed, and they don't really play that brand of hockey where they think they can beat you into submission, and therefore you will tire out, and then they can beat you at hockey. I think San Jose likes to actually play hockey for the entire 60 minutes, and I think that's been one of the things with Vegas that I think they're having a harder time adjusting to than they did against L.A., is that when San Jose comes to hit you, they're hitting you because that's the smart hockey play. Whereas L.A. hits you just to hit you, regardless of if there's a play there. So I think that's an adjustment that Vegas kind of needs to figure out. Like, if you're going to get hit, yes, it's great to get to take the hit, make the play, make the right read, but San Jose is hitting you for a reason. They're not doing it just because. So I think that's been a little bit harder for Vegas to kind of adjust to in this series.
No, I agree with you there. And I only mention it because I know in the last game they had 21 hits in the first period, and then it dropped way down. So it looked like maybe they were trying to do a little bit more of that that wasn't necessarily their comfort zone. What's on the rest of your agenda here today and as you get ready for Game 4 up there? And once again, thanks to MJ Christensen Jewelers and Finley Toyota for sending you and Helen up there. You guys have been doing a great job.
Yeah, I'll be on with TC Martin a little bit later. I'll be over on Cofield and Company about 4:15. And then I'm going to get to the SAP Center a bit early, take some pictures, do the Twitter thing, and get some post-game interviews.
All right, well, snatch a couple of those towels or something like that, and we'll burn them out at Toshiba Plaza on Friday night.
I'll do my best.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, Ryan, we'll see you on the post-game show.
Ryan, the hockey guy Wallace there, and someone's got to stay down here, man, in the fort, and somebody has to get on the road in that. And Ryan's been doing a great job and appreciate all the hard work that he's done. Chris Chapman, Ari, Bobby, everybody this year to make everything a success. And, boy, who knew that on May 2nd we would still be talking about game day?
Yeah, we knew we were going to follow the playoffs all the way to the Stanley Cup final in its fruition. But how fun is it to be still a part of it?
Absolutely amazing. Just absolutely incredible. All right, when we come back, we're still going to hear from William Karlsson. We heard a couple of quips from him yesterday, but we'll play that entire interview for you because Ryan told us it was good, and we believe him when he said that it was good. We'll also look at some of the other series going on in the NHL. We have a giveaway that we'll be doing as well. Lots more to get to here. It's a game day for the Vegas Golden Knights, and you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harness, Leighton Hamilton, and Chris Chapman on Fox Sports, your Golden Knights station. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Getting ready for Game 4, Round 2 against San Jose tonight in San Jose. And once again, you can join myself and Mr. Clayton Hamilton over at Parkway Tavern in Henderson tonight on Mark Street behind Sunset Station. Going to have some giveaways for you. Just tell me that you heard it on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We'll hook you up while supplies last. Also, great food and drink over there. Lots of other stuff going on. And, of course, screens all over the place. So you will not miss a second of the game.
You will not. And a pregame show at 6:30, puck drop at 7. But get there early at Parkway Tavern. Catch the end of that Bruins Lightning game because, Frank, the winner of that game is going to have an effect on the winner of our game. You said yesterday 26-26 were the home teams going in. Washington wins on the road. So that means what? Winnipeg has to win at home. So everyone is a Lightning fan. Or no, not a Lightning Tampa fan, Bay. A Bruin fan tonight. Because we want the Bruins to win at home so we can win on the road.
Yeah, but you know who is not a Bruins fan tonight?
Phil Esposito.
Phil Esposito.
That's correct.
The former Boston Bruin great and Hall of Famer said, look, you're more loyal to your kids than you are to yourself. He was a Boston Bruin player, but he helped literally found the Lightning. Said that there was a point in his career when he wanted to stay in Boston forever. He said the powers that be made sure that didn't happen. Sounds like there might be a little bit of an axe to grind there. And he went down, got the NHL, got this idea for a team in Florida, helped him get there. And so he said that he is 100% all in on the Lightnings because you care more about your children than anything else. So he is a Lightning backer 100%.
So what you're saying is that the Blackhawks are your family, but the Golden Knights are your children, which is why you have switched to be a Golden Knight fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I there will always be a special place in my heart for the Blackhawks, but hey, we're riding this train. And like I've said to people before as well, the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup, I get to watch it. The Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup, we get to cover it.
That is correct.
All right, speaking of the Golden Knights, and we're going to talk about some of those other series here as well, but yesterday we had a chance to hear a couple of the sound bites from William Karlsson in the interview that Ryan and some of the guys got to do with him yesterday, but it's some pretty good stuff there, and of course, Wild Bill has been Well, Marc-Andre Fleury might be the superstar of this team. Bill Carlson might be a superstar in the making.
He's got 6 goals against the Sharks this year in 7 games, counting the regular season and the playoffs.
Yeah, so he needs 2 tonight because he's got to average 1 game.
Slacking.
Let's just get the hat trick and get Jamie Hurst back in there with her lasso and everything. I mean, that is the goal. That is the goal.
She did retweet that picture yesterday, by the way.
I know. That's what reminded me of it. I just saw it on the Twitter when I was looking some stuff up today. So I definitely want to see that again.
I know she gets busy right now this time of year because she also works for MLB Network. And so she's back and forth. But she's doing hockey today. So maybe our own Chris Chapman can arrange for her to join us beginning part of next week.
Yeah, she's a fan. She's a fan of us. So
we're also a fan of her.
Yes, we are. So. And I told her I'd like to take credit for you wearing the cowboy boots and cowboy hat with the lasso and Carlson's hat trick, but I don't think I can.
Well,
I may have instigated it a little bit, but I don't think I could take credit for it.
Have you learned nothing from the media atmosphere out there in the world today? You can take credit and lie about anything.
Well, I mean, I could, and to be fair, I linked the two of them together.
You did, so there you go. So your taking credit would be a lot more honest than a lot of things we hear today.
Well, especially from me.
Yeah, well, I'm talking just in the world in general, and I'm not going to go any deeper into that
because this
isn't a political
show.
This isn't a
political
show.
There's no fake news on this show.
But one person that we've all become a fan of, and certainly all of Vegas, it seems like, is Wild Bill William Carlson. Here's that interview in its entirety yesterday with Wild Bill getting ready for Game 4 against the Sharks.
I love it. I didn't know much about Vegas except for the Strip, obviously, and it surprised me in a nice way.
Did it surprise you? I mean, everybody knows the Strip and
yeah.
Other than that.
Well, I'm just the area outside. It's very nice, the normal life, and I really like it, and I'm happy to live in Las Vegas.
That play where Marsh sort of turns around and kind of just wings one towards the net, obviously it's something that we've seen a number of different times. Like, how nice is it to have seen that and know that you know that's coming?
Well, we have a couple of games under the belt with each other, so I've seen him done that before, and so I knew it was coming, and then obviously I had Riley in the back door there, so it's a great play by Marshy.
Seems like the bigger the moment, the more you shine. Just talk about being a big game player, getting that goal.
It's kind of type of player you want to be. I think I struggled a little in the first at least, and then I got a little better in the second and took off from there. But I'm just happy that I can to contribute in big games like this.
You guys have given up 2 goal leads 2 games in a row. Is that something you guys have talked about, not let your foot off the gas when you get up like that?
Not really. You should always have the attitude of scoring the next goal, you know. They've made some great plays. They scored a beautiful goal there by Kane. And so, I mean, it's hockey. They're a good team. So, credit for them for coming back.
So you didn't feel like you were playing any different, playing in a shell or playing defensively. They just made some plays.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was a great shot. And then they battled through to get the tying goal, too.
Three games, your line has got 22 points combined. Why have you guys had so much success against them so far?
Good question. Just seem to be clicking right now. I don't know why, but we seem to have fun out there. And when you have fun, usually that's when you play good.
What is it about the Sharks and you that seem to bring out the best in you? Just something with the style of games or...
I don't know, maybe. They're a really fun team to play, too. I mean, we played them a lot this year, so you get a little extra motivated when you play these guys.
The teal, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're a very good team, so you got to be on top every game.
You brought it up last night in terms, and you said it, the Golden Misfits, kind of in a joking way. Teams throughout sports have kind of held on to stuff like that for motivation, whether they need it or not. How serious is it in the room, or is that something that's kind of you're just hanging on to, like, to get you through the next game?
I mean, it's more of a joke, you know. We're the guys who teams didn't protect and stuff like that, so more just a joke, and we're all in the same situation, so it's a fitting name.
Five power play goals in the series. Are you guys happy with what you're doing on the power play, and what's been the key to getting those goals?
Yeah, I mean, first game, it was kind of, I feel like it's been different situations every time. Sometimes we have the shot, sometimes we may have the great play, like Neil last night, or Tucky blowing through everyone, you know. So I think the variation of the goals we have is it's a good strength to have.
One thing, William, I wanted to ask about was the idea that when you're in the playoffs, you're always trying to be a little bit better and try to find that next level, even if you may be thinking you're at your highest level. Do you think that this team has another gear and can even be better than it has been?
I think so. Feels like the sky's the limit for this team, and hopefully we can be even better than we've been so far.
Boy, be even better than we have so far. Yes, this team has lost a game in the playoffs for an expansion club. They need to be better.
And this is what you love about William Karlsson.
That's what I love about this whole team.
Yeah, not satisfied. And it's genuine. It's not one of those people that there's a false bravado and it's just for the cameras. This is a guy that everything he does, nice, quiet, head down, and does it hard.
And also, it's never a slight on the other team. Mm-hmm. It's just that they go out there expecting to win because they think they have the capability of winning. The other teams are good too, but they think if they play their game and do what they're supposed to, they should win. And guess what? That's one of the reasons they win so much.
And that's one of the great things about William Karlsson. You see the elite scoring, the 43 goals, but all the work that he does on the penalty kill, 4-on-4 special teams, and doesn't mind giving a hit, doesn't mind taking a hit, a lot more physical than he gets a lot of credit for.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of teams will win at all costs. Vegas is not that way. No. However, the Washington Capitals, who I kind of actually like a little bit, they have one player on their team that does try to win at all costs. And I'm not a fan of this guy whatsoever as well. Everybody who's ever listened to the show knows that I don't like Brad Marchand in Boston because I think he's a really good player, but he doesn't have to play the way he does. Well, Tom Wilson is another one of those kind of players. He has some talent, probably not as much as Marchand, but he's always doing something to get himself in trouble or basically to injure somebody else.
We saw him with a questionable hit earlier in the series. Both of us defended him on that case and said, you know what, we didn't think it was all that bad. Tom Wilson gets a bad rap for who he has been in the past. Well, he was at it again last night. He hit Zach Aston-Reese of the Penguins right in the face with his shoulder. He's going to have a hearing with the NHL Department of Player Safety today. And every angle that I saw of it, I would expect that a suspension is forthcoming.
I can't imagine he's not going to be suspended for it. However, there's one person who thinks that maybe he shouldn't be suspended for it, his coach Barry Trotz. Trotz said that he thought it was a shoulder-to-shoulder hit. It was just a hockey play. He also commented because the fans in Pittsburgh were booing quite loudly at Wilson, and Wilson seemed to be smiling, almost laughing on the bench, and Trotz was asked about Wilson smiling on the bench.
I saw the same thing that you would have saw, and I can tell you this. Tom is very respectful for anybody who is, you know, in a situation that possibly injured. He wouldn't do that. What was happening? 19,000 people were booing him, and something funny was said on the bench, and that's why he was smiling. The guy made a funny comment that he's got all his friends in the building, something like that, and that's where the smile was. So I do take a little bit of offense, and I understand what that's coming out of the Penguins locker room, but that was not the case, and that's for 100% sure of that, because I was right there, and one of the guys made a statement about all the booing and all that, and that's where the smile came. But other than that, he's very respectful of that. He's a hockey player. He understands. He's reached out to people that have been injured and all that. So to me, that's misplaced, if you know anything about Tom Wilson. So I am a little bit upset about that, but I understand. You know, I understand how it looks, but that was not the case for sure.
Okay, so maybe it wasn't the case that he was smiling or laughing about the injury. But he also saw Ashton Reese laying down there, who, by the way, has a broken jaw and a concussion, and he doesn't really seem like there's any remorse about it. In fact, Barry Trotz said, to me, it was a hard hockey hit. If you want my opinion, that's what I saw, shoulder to shoulder. Mike Sullivan disagreed. He said it was a high hit. What else can I say? And Chris Letang said in the other incident, he said, we know who Tom Wilson is. Well, we were both at his back the other one. I don't have his back on this one. And they've got to, if it's that questionable, they've got to make some kind of rule. You just can't go to the head, period. Mm-hmm. Because guys like him are constantly going to push the envelope as far as you will let them.
And Zach Aston-Reese, he has the broken jaw. He has the concussion, and he's going to require surgery to get the broken jaw done. And I reached out to Dr. John Petrick at the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, who's been on the program before, about what that means for Zach Aston-Reese, because we know that sometimes with a concussion, you can't have the surgery. And he said that he's going to have to go through some concussion protocols before they can even get to that surgery to make sure that there's going to be no risk of an intracranial bleeding. So he'll need an MRI and a number of other tests before they can even get to the jaw surgery. So it could be a little bit of time before we see Zach Aston-Reese.
Here's the other thing I don't get about it. Alex Ovechkin is playing his butt off in this playoffs. He's trying to finally beat Pittsburgh and get that monkey off their back or whatever cliche you want to use. Why do you go out there and do something that's potentially going to hurt your team? Okay, yeah, you're trying to play physical and that kind of stuff. You don't have to go headhunting. Tom Wilson has skills. Mm-hmm. He's a good hockey player. I don't understand why guys have to go over the edge like that and basically try to injure somebody else. I just don't get that.
Yeah, he's going to get the gate, I would think, at least for one. You might see two. I don't know if they'll go as much as three like Kadri did. I think it's maybe a little – it's like worse than Doughty and Kane and Morrissey and not as bad maybe as Kadri. So maybe he gets the two, but we will see. And if we get any more information, if they release that before the end of the show, we will let you know.
Yeah, we'll probably be letting you know about that tomorrow. But, again, I just don't get it. I don't understand why guys with talent have to go that way. I love hard physical play. I don't like dirty play. And Wilson – is a dirty player. Yeah. He just is. All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. When we come back, we're going to tell you about a beer that even our buddy Armando probably wouldn't want to drink, but they were drinking it at one of the hockey games the other day. But right now, if you would like a little Stanley Cup prize pack here, well, the battle for the Stanley Cup is on. Watch NHL Tonight for the latest scores and news updates from the Stanley Cup playoffs every game night before and after the action. NHL Tonight only on NHL Network. And caller number 10 right now, you're going to get that prize pack. There's a shirt, a hat, some other good stuff in there from NHL Network. And I'll throw in a four-pack of tickets for Deadpool May the 10th at Red Rock, a special screening of that movie there. Caller 10, 876-1340. When we come back, we'll wrap it up here on a game day Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. And there you have it, wrapping it up here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Catfish-flavored beer. No, it's not a beer flavor there, but the Tennessee Titans in their last game against the Predators in Nashville there, they're with the Predators, yes, obviously, against Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. The Titans and Marcus Mariota came to the game, and they had a dead catfish there, and it was huge. They were pouring the beer on the catfish and drinking it out as it was coming out of there. Looked pretty nasty to me, so of course... PETA, very upset about it, thinking that it's cruel and humane. Why would somebody do that to a poor, tortured animal that has passed away? How about all the catfish that are thrown on the ice on a game-to-game basis? Isn't that cruel and unusual? I mean, it's... look, I love animals, but isn't this going a little bit too far?
I like sushi and beer together.
Well, there you go.
Not necessarily. I don't think catfish makes a good sushi.
Yeah, well, it probably doesn't.
I can't imagine the beer tasting good, though, running down the back of a catfish.
Well, no. And you would think that you washed the sushi down with it, not the other
right,
way around.
Exactly.
All right, well, we'll get T.C. Martin's thoughts on it next. Join us tonight, Parkway Tavern, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. The doctor's on the way.